several scriptures that mention Christ's second coming. I've tweaked this sermon quite a bit just even this morning. So I took some stuff out and I added some stuff in. And Cody's doing the sound this morning, and I may mess him completely up because I don't know what's going to happen. But there are several verses in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. This was the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven after his crucifixion and resurrection. And the angels said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." That was well over 2,000 years ago. And because of the 2,000 plus years, there are many people who don't think that Jesus is going to come back. They think it's an empty promise. Christians have been talking about it. Those men who were present when the angel said that started talking about it. And Christians have been talking about it since then. And so when you hear it for so long and it doesn't happen, you begin to wonder if it's really going to happen. You think that it won't. But Jesus has never broken a promise. There's not a promise in the scripture that's been given that hasn't been fulfilled, in my opinion, except this one. Now, you'll find some people that will disagree with that regarding some of the end time prophecies. But Jesus himself said in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I don't know when Jesus is going to come back. Nobody knows. The Bible says nobody but God knows. If somebody tells you they know, they're not telling you the truth. They're either lying or they're misguided. Only God knows. I don't know. But I do know he will return someday. In Matthew chapter 25, there's the parable. It's the parable of the wedding and the parable of the 10 virgins. And it's Jesus speaking about being prepared, being ready for his coming. So I want to look at that this morning. Matthew chapter 25, I'm going to read the first 13 verses. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Jewish weddings in the New Testament times were quite a bit different than our weddings today, and even than the Jewish weddings today. The groom and his attendants, his friends, would gather at his home, and some time during the day, usually it was just after sunset during the night, they would make their way to the bride's home. And there would be the ceremony, and then the entire wedding party would go from the bride's home back to the groom's home. And that's where the wedding feast would begin. Usually it lasted 7 days, not 24/7, but 7 evenings there would be the feast there at the groom's home. And it would be the responsibility of the bridesmaids to be at the home of the bride waiting for the arrival of the groom with torches, with lamps. And when word came that the groom was getting close, it was their responsibility to go out to light their torches, to go out to light the way for the groom and his men to the bride's home, and then to light the way for the wedding party from the bride's home back to the groom's home where the wedding feast would begin. So with that in mind, with that little background in mind, I want to look at this parable of the 10 virgins. And the first thing, the 10 virgins are the 10 bridesmaids. And the first, by the way, guys, mamas and daddies of girls, aren't you glad you don't have to have a 7-day feast for a wedding, man? Anyway, I thought of that too. The first thing I want us to notice is that there was a call delivered. All 10 bridesmaids were called. They were invited to the wedding. All 10 of them came. All 10 of them understood their responsibilities as a bridesmaid. They knew they had to have a torch. They knew they had to have oil for the torch because they knew it was their job to light the way for the groom to come and then for the wedding party to go to the feast. So they all understood perfectly what the invitation to come to the wedding meant, what the invitation to be a bridesmaid meant. I also want you to notice in this parable that all 10 of the bridesmaids are at the bride's home. They all received the invitation. They all accepted the invitation. They all came to the bride's home. It is God's desire that all people be saved. God wants everybody to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. God wants everybody to have their sins forgiven. God wants everybody to go to heaven. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." God loves everybody, including you individually. Sometimes we think of that and we think, oh, Jesus died for everybody, God loves everybody, and we sort of exclude ourselves. It's for you and me too. Jesus died for everyone so that whosoever believes in Him can be saved, can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and can go to heaven. Amen. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men," all people. Acts 17:30, we've mentioned this frequently the last month or so. "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." So if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian and you're wondering whether or not Jesus loves you and whether or not Jesus died for you and whether or not Jesus wants you to be saved, the answer is yes. He loves you. He died for you. And He has extended the call to invite you to salvation. The next thing I want us to notice is that there was a coming delayed. Verse 5 says that the bridegroom tarried. There's no reason given, just the information. The bridegroom tarried. Usually, the wedding would take place, the procession, the groom would usually come right after sunset. Because they had to have the ceremony, they had to have start the feast. So right after sunset, he would usually come. For some reason, this groom waited until midnight to come. I already mentioned it's been 2,000 plus years since Jesus said in John 14:3, "I will come again." And in our mind, that seems like a delay. 2,000 years seems like a delay. But that delay is only in the mind of man. God's timetable is right on schedule. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Rest assured, midnight will come, and Jesus will return. I want you to think about this groom's delay. While he waited, there were 10 virgins, 10 bridesmaids at the bride's home. 5 of them didn't have oil in their lamps, and they knew it. See, they didn't come ignorantly. They didn't come thinking their lamp was full and thinking their oil vessel was full. They knew they didn't have any oil. While the bridegroom delayed, they should have gone out and got some oil, right? They knew what was expected. They knew they were going to have to light their torch. Now, listen, they should have come to the wedding. They should have come to the bride's to the bride's home prepared. They should have had oil when they came. But knowing that they didn't, they especially should have gone while the groom delayed and bought some oil and filled their vessels and filled their lamps and got ready. But they didn't. They waited. I would imagine that the 5 wise virgins who had oil, I would imagine that they encouraged the 5 foolish to go get some oil. I don't know why they didn't. I don't know what excuses were given. I'm sure they had some excuses. Maybe they were tired. Maybe they had such an adrenaline, you get an adrenaline charge and they got that adrenaline charge waiting for the groom to come, and then the groom didn't come and they got that adrenaline kind of left and they got tired. Boy, that happens to me. every Sunday. You can ask Sherry, about 9 or 9:30 at night, man, I'm just out. Maybe they were tired. Maybe they didn't think they had enough money. Maybe they didn't know where to go to get the oil. Maybe they were mad. Maybe they thought somebody would share. Maybe they just thought, well, I'll get by without it. But for some reason, even during the delay, they did not go get oil. They were unprepared. Now, the Bible clearly teaches us that that salvation is necessary to go to heaven, and that Jesus is the only way to be saved. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus is going to come. He's going to return someday. And when that happens, we're going to be judged by what we've done, whether or not we've accepted Christ as our Savior, whether or not we're saved. And during this delay, right, we think He's delaying. So during this time of delay, we would be wise if we were got prepared. By the way, even if you aren't thinking about the second coming of Jesus Christ, or if you aren't convinced, you don't believe that He'll come back, everybody dies. Every time I go to the hospital or I get a phone call and someone is desperately ill, and in particular, and please don't take offense at this because I'm getting right there with everybody else. In particular, when it's somebody who's elderly, and their health is bad, and they've gone through this struggle, and now there's a crisis. We always pray that they call, and we always pray for healing. Right? We want everybody to live longer. We want everybody to live forever. We want everybody to at least live until I die so I don't have to suffer with the death of anybody else, right? But listen, everybody dies. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Even if you're not thinking about the second coming, even if you're not convinced that Jesus will ever come, you will die. And when we die, we will stand before God in judgment. And those who are wise, prepare. And those who are foolish, don't. 5 virgins were unprepared, and the Bible calls them foolish virgins. That brings us to the closed door. The groom did come. Well, it was midnight, but he did come. They were the bride and her attendants were sleeping. The Bible says they went to sleep, but he did come. And word came out. Listen, the groom's on the way. Somebody woke up the bride and her attendants, and they said, "The groom's coming." And so the bridesmaids got up and they got ready to light their lamps. They were there. All 10 of them were there. They were the invited bridesmaids. They were at the bride's home. So they got up and they got ready to light their lamps, and the 5 foolish lamps wouldn't light because there was no oil. So the 5 wise went out with their lit lamp, and they escorted the groom to the bride's house, and the 5 foolish said, "Listen, give us some of your oil." And the 5 wise said, "We can't do that, lest there not be enough for us and for you. Why don't you go buy some oil and light your lamps and then come back?" And so the 5 foolish virgins left to buy oil, and while they were gone, the wedding took place. The feast began, and the door was closed. The Bible tells us that there's a scripture in Genesis. I had it, and it's one of those things that I took out, and I can't remember now what the reference is, but it's early in Genesis. It's at the time of Noah and the ark, and it's at the time when all of the animals and Noah and his sons and their wives have all gathered into the ark, just like God commanded. And the Bible says, it uses these words, the Bible says, "The Lord shut him in." Meaning that God closed the doors of the ark. I got to thinking about that. You know, the people in Noah's day, there was nobody in Noah's day that believed the flood was coming. Only Noah. People say, "Oh no, his family didn't." Now the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Not his sons and his daughters-in-laws, not even his wife. Noah found grace. So nobody believed the flood was coming. They all got in the ark. God closed the doors and the rain began to fall and the water began to rise. And don't you think that as the water began to rise, people began to be convinced, I believe the flood's coming. And don't you think they went to the ark? Hey, Noah, got room for a couple more? I can picture this in my mind. I don't know why, but I've been able to picture this in my mind. The flood waters rise and it gets up above people's heads, and so they have to begin to swim or tread water. And I can picture people swimming up to the ark and knocking on the side of the ark. Noah, come on, man, let us in. But the doors had been closed by God. He shut them in. The time for mercy was over. The delay was done. Judgment had come. These five foolish virgins went to buy oil. They couldn't find any. Everything was closed. But they came back to the wedding celebration. And they began to knock on the outside of the house. And, hey, come on, let us in. You invited us. Come on, let us in. Remember, these five were in the bride's home. And the Lord of the feast said, sorry, the doors are closed. While you were gone, trying to prepare, mercy ceased. Some in the church today are unprepared to meet Jesus. Five foolish virgins were in the bride's home, yet they were unprepared. When I realized that, when I read this parable and when I realized that, I tell you, I can't describe it. One of the fears, I'm not sure that's even the right word. One of the things that I'm aware of as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to be careful that I explain salvation carefully, clearly. Because I don't want to die and stand before God in judgment and know that there are people who have gone to hell who came to the church where I pastored and they went because I didn't make it clear. They were in the bride's home and nobody told them you got to have oil in your lamp. So they asked for somebody to help them when judgment came, and nobody could help them because salvation is a personal thing. Listen, people can pray for you, and they probably are if you're not a Christian. But only you can confess your sins. Only you can ask for forgiveness. Only you can come to Jesus to be saved. Salvation is personal. And when Jesus returns, there will be some in the church. I hope not this church. But there will be some in the church universal, who will be unprepared. I hope that doesn't happen to anybody that I know. I hope that doesn't happen to anybody, to be honest with you. I hope that every minister of the gospel is aware enough to make the process of salvation clear. It doesn't have to be one special way. But you must tell Jesus somehow, some words or some communication. You don't have to even verbalize it. Listen, God knows our thoughts. But you have to communicate to Jesus some way, I have sinned. Boy, that's the tough part, isn't it? Well, I'm a pretty good guy. Well, I'm not as bad as that other guy. Maybe I won't need salvation to get to heaven. I'm a pretty good person. Maybe one of the five foolish virgins thought, maybe I won't need oil in my lamp. The bride really likes me. Well, listen, Jesus loves you. Loves you so much that he died for you. But if you reject him, you can't go to heaven. So you must confess some way I've sinned. You must ask Jesus some way, please forgive me of my sins. And you must do that personally for yourself. Nobody can do it for you. And you need to do it before the opportunity is lost. Amen. In the delay, in the seeming delay of the second coming of Christ, or in the moments that you have before your life ends, you need to accept Jesus as your Savior. Only Jesus saves. Only Jesus will get you into heaven. Only Jesus will get you into the feast of the bride and the bridegroom. Would you stand this morning? I'd sure if you'd just come and just play a song of invitation. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Be as quiet as you can for just a moment. I just want to ask you just one little simple question. Are you ready? If in the next few moments the eastern sky split and Jesus stepped through the clouds and time ended, if in the next few moments you drew your last breath and your life was over, are you ready? If you're not, would you take this opportunity to get ready? Would you ask Jesus to forgive you? Would you confess your sins and ask Him to forgive you? You do that while Shara plays. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's looking around, just me. I won't call out your name. I won't embarrass you in any way. But if you're not a Christian and you'd like to be saved today, please do it. Please simply say, pray some prayer like this. Simply say, Jesus, I have sinned. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. If you prayed that prayer, would you slip your hand up? Again, I won't call you by name, but just quickly as a testimony. And listen, if you're not a Christian, do it quickly. Don't wait. Anyone? Thank you for your attention. You can be seated if you'd like to for just a minute. We have just a couple of things that we need to do this morning. First of all, I need to open the doors of the church. We have some folks who would like to join our church. We had some folks join last Sunday. We got some folks who would like to join this Sunday. I'd like to have some folks next Sunday to join the church. We just do this every Sunday, okay? So if you would like to join our fellowship here, would you come this morning, just stand here in front of the communion table and face the congregation? Amen. We have Floyd and Tammy and Trey and Patsy who have come to join us this morning as part of our church. Isn't that nice? Hey, that makes six in the last 2 weeks. What's the pleasure of the body? I need a second. I'll take that. All in favor, clap your hands just real quickly. Thank you. Now, I'm going to ask you for, if you would please, to be seated on one of the front pews. This is a little different than what we normally do, so I don't want you to go far because we're going to shake your hand here in just a minute. But we have one more thing that we need to take care of this morning. That I'd rather not do. JD and Christy, would you guys come up here for a minute? JD and Christy have moved to Bartlesville. JD, I think you remember he lost a Smith sold or something. And he got a job in Bartlesville. He's been commuting back and forth. And they have moved over the weekend, this will be their last official Sunday morning with us at the church. They've been part of the church for many, many years. All of my ministry, they've been my friends, and I appreciate their friendship and their fellowship and their faithfulness. JD's been a deacon since 2002. And he and Christy have served the Lord and served us very well, and I'm so thankful for them. And we wish them very well. We're going to give them, I'm going to give you a chance to come by and tell them goodbye, but first we're going to say just a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for all the people that you bring into our lives and the love that they give to us and the support and the help. I thank you for JD and Christy, Lord, and I just pray, God, that you will bless them, help them to find a church in Bartlesville where they can worship and serve you, and I know that they will, and make the transition easy for them and smooth, and help JD with this new job. And Christy needs a physical touch. Father, she needs your healing, and I pray that you would do that for her, that you would help them to be faithful and witnesses for you. And I thank you again, Lord, so much for giving them to us for this time. And Lord, we look forward to the day when never again will we be separated for any reason, but we'll be together for eternity and worship you together. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, if you guys would come back up now. As our dismissal, you come by and welcome these new members. And tell JD and Christy you love them. Okay? Come on.